Today, our scripture is from Luke 24, 36 through 48. While they were still talking about this, Jesus made himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe because of the joy and amazement they had, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are a witness to all these things." The word of God for the people of God. One of my earliest memories as a child is not a great one. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and my mother and I were at the pharmacy. Now, I grew up and still live in the boonies of New Alexandria, so our pharmacy was kind of multi-purposed. It had drugs and all the stuff that we'd normally find at a pharmacy, but it also had a section of greeting cards, and it had candy bars, and it had party supplies. And part of the party supply aisle at our local pharmacy had balloons. Now, anyone who has had children or has been around children knows as soon as they see balloons, they automatically want them. And I was the same way. I remember every time we went into that pharmacy, I would ask my mom to buy me a balloon. And she would say, "No, Zach, you don't need a balloon." And of course, as a 4 or 5 year old, I did not understand the difference between needing a balloon and wanting a balloon. So I persisted. And on this morning that I recall, we went into the pharmacy and I asked my mom for the balloon and she said, "No, you don't need that." And of course, I continued on asking for it and she said, "No, you're not getting a balloon and you do not need it." So I decided to take matters into my own hand and I gave myself a little 5-finger discount on a balloon. I just took it straight from its bin and put it in my pocket. And then we left the pharmacy and we went home. And my mom didn't know about it for a couple hours. And we went, I was in my room, I was trying to inflate that balloon, which was a lot harder than I thought it would be. And she found out, she came in, she saw me with the balloon, and of course she was furious. She knew that I took it from the pharmacy, and she was just absolutely furious with what I'd done. Now, as part of my punishment, she made me go back to the pharmacy that day and hand the balloon to the nice lady behind the counter and to confess that I had stolen it from the pharmacy and asked for forgiveness. This is one of the most awful experiences I have ever had in my life. First, I messed up. I made a mistake and I was caught. So there was a level of fear that I had. Fear for the punishment that I was going to get. Of course, I was young and of course I stole and I knew that was wrong. And I knew people went to jail for stealing. So there was a bit of a fear that I was going to jail. But on top of that, I remember handing that balloon to the nice lady behind the counter of the pharmacy and just feeling this shame. I remember feeling this shame. It wasn't so much that I was afraid of what was going to happen to me. I mean, there was a level of that. But I also knew that I did something that was very, very wrong. And at the time that I did it, I knew it was wrong. But I did it anyway because I wanted it. And I think this was the first moment that I really felt the weight that sin can have on a person. Of course, as a young child, I didn't realize that's what it was, but I felt the weight of sin. And I think we all have experiences like this. I think we all have experiences in our lives where we look at our past or even maybe our presence, and we see our failures and we see the things that we have done that are just, well, not godlike. And we see those, and there's a bit of weight that is on us. We feel this weight of our sin just crushing us and holding us back and weighing us down. And we just think to ourselves, man, does anybody know what this is like? I just feel like I can't move forward because I am stuck with this in my life. I think we all have moments like that. And we think to ourselves, there's nobody who knows what this is like. But that is just so untrue. I want to read that passage again today that we're looking at. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe because of the joy and amazement, he asked, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and of the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, he told them. "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses to these things." Right here this morning, what I want you to do is put yourself in the minds of the disciples. I want you to really put yourself as if you were in this scene in the Bible, as if you were one of Jesus' followers and you have witnessed this event. And I want you to think about what you would have been through on the days leading up to this event. It's Easter Sunday, the first Easter Sunday, and you don't know that Jesus has risen yet. You have not seen him. You are unaware of his presence. You are unaware that he's alive. Think about how on Friday you saw your Lord, your Master, your Savior, your friend, brutally mocked and beaten and ultimately crucified on the cross. Think about that. Think about how that would have affected you. Think about how much that would have hurt. And think about Saturday. Oddly enough, the Bible is quite silent about what happened on Saturday, but I'm pretty sure we know what the disciples were going through. Unfortunately, we all have experienced loss in this room. And if you haven't, you will. And we know the pain that is associated with loss. We know the feelings that come up with loss. Some of the disciples were probably in denial. They probably didn't believe that this had just happened. They were probably thinking, "No, it can't be. He's the Son of God. How would the Son of God die in such a way? It can't be true." Others were probably angry. "How could they do this to my God? How dare they? Who do they think they are?" And others were probably just depressed and didn't know what to do and didn't know what to make of the situation. And they're all experiencing these emotions. Not at the same time, but they are experiencing that. And then it's Sunday morning. Jesus rises from the dead and the disciples are gathered together. They don't know that Jesus is alive, but they're gathered together trying to figure out what is next. What do we do next? I mean, they had dedicated their lives for the past 3 years to this man. They had followed him from town to town, learning his teachings. They left their friends and their families. They left their jobs. What's next? I mean, do they go back home? Do they go back to their jobs? Do they still have jobs? Will their families accept them back, or will they mock them? Will their friends mock them, or will they understand the tragedy that they've gone through? I mean, these are all very real questions the disciples are trying to figure out. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears in their doorway and says, "Peace be with you." And the disciples at first, they don't know what to think. They are shocked and they're afraid and they're happy and they're all together confused because they think that the ghost of Jesus is in front of them. And then Jesus has to assure them. He says, "No, I'm not a ghost. Look at my hands, look at my feet. I am truly here in flesh and blood. I have risen from the grave. It is good news." And then there's joy and amazement, and there's celebration. And in the midst of this celebration the disciples are having, Jesus asks an odd question. "Do you have something to eat?" And for most people, when they see that part of the scriptures, they probably just think it's an odd detail that the author decided to put in. But I think it reveals something about Jesus that is very important, his humanity. You see, most people, they see Jesus in one of two ways. Some folks, they see Jesus as a good man, a good teacher, a great philosopher, somebody that we should study and learn from, but he's not God. And the other people, they see him as God, but not as a man. But it's important that we see Jesus as both God and man, 100% human, 100% God, fully God and fully human, because that is who Jesus is. It is very important. It's important that we don't see Jesus as just a man. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Jesus Christ lives the fullness of God in a human body." It's important to understand that Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a normal person who was like God. He wasn't just a God-like person with God-like beliefs, but rather he was a God-man. He was God. Jesus was fully God. He had all the characteristics and qualities of God. Jesus is and was all-knowing, just like God the Father is all-knowing. He is in the same way that God the Father is all-powerful, Jesus is all-powerful. Jesus is holy in the same way that God is holy. Every characteristic and quality of God, Jesus has because he is God. And it's really important to understand because a lot of religions and a lot of other people will say Jesus was a great man. Jesus did great things. And the way that he taught, the way that he treated people, that's something that we should emulate. But he wasn't God. We need to understand that Jesus was not just a good man, not just a good teacher, not a great philosopher, but rather God in the flesh. Now, the reverse of this is people who see Jesus as God, but not so much as a man. Just as important as the deity of Christ is the humanity of Christ. Jesus was not simply pretending to be human. He was not a God disguised in as a person. Jesus, while he was on earth, was the embodiment of God, God in the flesh, a human being just like you and me. And this is important because he did not merely witness the human experience. He did not just see what it was like to be a human, but instead he was a part of the human experience. Hebrews 4:14-15 says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he had faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." It's important to understand the humanity of Christ because he experienced loss and grief and depression and temptation in the same way that we experience those things. Everything that we experience as human beings, Christ experienced while he was on earth. A lot of us have family issues. So did Jesus. A very well-known story in the Bible happens when Jesus was 12 years old. His family went to the temple to celebrate the Passover feast. And they celebrated while they were there. And it came time to go, so they packed up and they left. But unfortunately, they left the young Jesus in the big city for 3 days before they even realized he was gone. Jesus was forgotten. And if you are somebody who feels like you have been forgotten by your family, or that you're the black sheep, or you just don't quite fit in with the rest of your family, Jesus knows exactly what that is like. Jesus was tempted in every single way that we have been tempted. Jesus knows what that's like. He has been face to face with the devil. He knows how great temptation is. And he understands how hard it is to fight temptation. And he even understands when we give in to temptation. Even though he never did, he knows how powerful temptation can be. He understands what it's like to be human. And why is this important today? Why am I talking about the duality of Christ's nature? Why am I talking about God being fully man and fully God? Well, it's very important that we see God in this way, that we see Jesus in this way, because without that, we can't be saved. You see, as a human, Christ can relate to us. He knows what we've been through. He's not a distant God who's waving our fingers at us, saying that you have done bad things, not being able to understand how and what we're going through. But in the same way, as a God, he can forgive us as of our sin. Because he is God, he can forgive us of our sin. We need the human to understand, the human to relate to us, and the God to forgive us of our sins. Jesus can relate and rescue us. He can relate to us and he can rescue us. Jesus can relate to our fear and he can rescue us from our fear. He can relate to our loneliness and he can rescue us from our loneliness. He can relate to our temptation and he can rescue us from our temptation. He can relate to sin because he lived in a world that was sinful, even though he never sinned. And because he never sinned, and he died and rose again, he can save us from our sin. It's so important to realize the character and quality of Jesus being both fully God and fully human. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that he understands me, and he understands everyone in this room, and he understands the world. I'm so thankful that you just aren't a distant God who has no idea who we are and what we've been through, but can relate to us. God, I thank you for that, even though it was a painful experience for your son. Lord, I ask you to always keep that present in our mind, that because your son has experienced what we have, that we never have to be away from him, that we don't have to hide and be ashamed of our sin, but we can go to him and say, God, I need you. In your name we pray. Amen.